Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, this is Rob Roark of Texas saying hello and howdy. And I just want to say, hey, we're back. We're back on the air. And thank God we're back on the air. I apologize for not being on the air that long because, well, I've been got myself caught up in a couple other projects. One of which is we are now in new dig. We are now in a nicer apartment in Clear Lake. I know it's Houston, Texas, but I like seeing Clear Lake. New congressional district, District 22. And I've got a new, working in new Kroger's in my spare time. And just enjoying a new outlook on things. Also been working on a book, putting together my blog posting since 2009 to present. And that's robroark4texas.com, my blog site. But I haven't forgotten, you know. I just been busy and doing some things else out of that work, and just trying to figure out a new direction for myself. I had this kind of lapse in some of my activities and some of the things I like to do to have a little fun, have a little relaxation. And hopefully if someone's listening, get them to think, what if? Well, what do you think? What if you think about this idea, that idea? Because the whole idea of Rob Roark of Texas is that we like to talk a little politics. Most of all, we like to hear what you have to say. Simply put it, that's what matters, period. Well, we've got less than 30 minutes, so we're going to do some talking. And kind of do a little bit of a review. Well, think about it this way. Since last November's election, what have we got now? A Republican Congress. That's in both Senate and House. And I'm going to paraphrase a line from the movie GoldenEye. Leadership changes, but the politics stays the same. We still have arguments of it's not my fault, it's theirs, back and forth on all political aisles. You would think somebody would get an idea that we need something more than just political finger pointing. Well, we had some positive things come about. Now, I will say this, and I know I'm going to probably need to open the criticism for saying it, but that's what the idea of freedom of speech means. We get to voice that opinion. Now, let me preface it this way. While I understand President Obama's need to do an executive order to get something done, and yes, he's the first president that has done anything extensively on the idea of immigration along the Mexican border. But in criticism, there are two points. One is the idea of immigration should be a broader sense. And this is two separate issues. If you're going to say immigration along the southern border, they'll make it, you know, separate that from a national policy on immigration into this country. They almost have to do it because we have a border that is very porous. The states need help in securing the border, but Washington says it's a state issue. Like, it's not my fault, it's theirs. Well, and let me add this little note into it. The idea of the immigration policy along the border with Mexico is we want security along that border. You know, you got drug gangs and cartels bouncing back and forth across the border, people being shoveled in or bought in like cattle across the border. No one's touching them. And when someone has, they get a response of lead or silver. You get silver, you turn your head and don't look. If you don't want to turn your head, we fire our guns. In which I think we've all heard the story. Ranchers, families, and our homes along the border of Mexico are trashed. Livestock killed. Water systems compromised. And no one does anything. And when someone does, like a property owner, they get shot at. And that's what's wrong. And that's what Washington doesn't understand. But to use, and probably to some extent abuse, the idea of executive order is, one, because the Congress doesn't want to do anything because they don't like him, is ridiculous on their part. And to continue to do it and shove it down their throats as a means of shoving it down their throats is also wrong. I got into a discussion on LinkedIn about whether President Obama's use of executive orders were abusive or not, or being abused. And what was wild to me was someone actually had the balls to ask this one question. Let's make this one statement. He wouldn't be saying this if he was white. In that background, you hear one of my neighbors trying to rev up their engine to make sure it's fine. That's a side note, folks. Well, I'm living in an apartment. What can I tell you? The basic idea and the idea I put forward is that, it could be considered abusive. It could easily be abusive. That he's overdone it. And there's no way to run a government, period. Whether you be a congressman, senator, or even the president of the United States. And to respond to this woman, who made a statement. She was written up one end and down the other. Well, some people can be such idiots. Excuse me, I am sorry for that background noise. To me, the idea is a person shouldn't be looked upon because of the color as a way of making an assumption on them or wanting to comment on them. Just a second. Let's see what we get LinkedIn. President of the United States, period. He should not be judged because of the color of his skin. He should be judged on his policies and his way he ran the country. Now, no, I was not surprised that this commentator was given the royal runaround and the royal treatment, so to speak. But what I was surprised at was how in-depth they went. And on that statement, you wouldn't say this if he was white. I did have a friend who commented and said, yeah, I would, but that's not me. I am going out of my balcony now to see if I can see who's really making all that noise. Oh, I see it. There's some guy working on his car. Well, good luck to you. The idea is that we're talking about the constitutional right to give the right to freedom of speech, freedom of expression. And that's what we need to look at and need to understand. That's why we have a Constitution, and that's why we're America. And so I just want to kind of catch up on that. This kind of this part of what we do, what again, what we're talking about here on Rob Walker of Texas, we like to talk a little politics. And I just kind of want to catch you up on what I've been up to. But as far as the future, well, Rob Rourke of Texas is going to have a new, kind of a new look on my website, on the website, Rob Rourke. And it's, and if you want to shoot me an email, it's rob@robrourke.us. And if you want to call in, that number is 718-664-9825. Again, that number is 718-664-9825. But hey, we're in a new district, 22nd Congressional District. The congressman is one Pete Olson. Yes, I'm exploring the idea. I'll say that much. But think of it this way. We need somebody that's not going to point a finger across the aisle and say it's not our fault. And I'm going to tell you, if I announce my candidacy, I'm lucky enough to get the nomination to oppose Mr. Olson. I will ask these questions. Where do you stand, Pete, on education? Where do you stand on national security? Where do you stand on immigration? And I'm not going to pull anything, you know, I used to live in what was Steve Tuchman's congressional district. And I said to Vin Bailey, congratulations, you won. But to put on Facebook, I'm sorry, folks, this is a side note that kind of bugged me, and I just remembered it. Put on Facebook, you stood up against the president as executive action on immigration. Or his executive action, period. You stood up against the president. Again, you know, you campaign the idea that you were a conservative. Yes. You campaign that you're we're going to promote a better working environment for in Washington. But you're doing the same old thing. The same old finger pointing. You know, we need someone that leads. Pete Olson, I said, we need someone that leads. So I'm going to put this out. Y'all have read my blogs and my opinions on education. And hopefully, I'm not going to go read them again in my book when it gets published. But the idea for education, we need to redefine it. You know, like a lot of things that have happened in Washington, they don't know how to redefine them and adjust them to the new environment, the new crossing into that new hemisphere, that new crossing over to that new horizon. We don't need an education, a DOE, a Department of Education that regulates through new agendas with new presidents. We need a Department of Education that has one single framework of education that allows the states to sell the responsibility to teach our kids, allows the teachers to teach our kids. That's what we need. If you want to talk a framework, try this. And this is, and yes, she, I believe she was, is Republican. But the point is, it's a workable framework for our kids to be educated. And it's not anything that deals with a political party. And if someone wants to call and argue with me for the next 13 plus minutes that we have left on the show, call and tell me why you think that the party affiliation stands up to this argument. We want our kids to learn more. We want our kids to be better educated. We want the standards, our teachers to be able to teach. But when their hands are tied by red tape, they can't teach. And I'm using this as an example of what I would say is a great part of a framework. Emphasis on grammar, phonics, handwriting, spelling, and composition skills, as well as the focus on serious literature in English classes. A curriculum that teaches the fundamentals of skills of math, like memorizing the multiplication and division tables, and discourages the use of calculators in elementary school. Where's the political label on that? There is none. History curriculum standards that emphasize patriotism, the free enterprise system, our founding fathers, founding documents like the U.S. Constitution and American exceptionalism. Again, where is a political label here? Health textbooks that uphold traditional definitions of marriage and family and abstinence-based sex education. Well, as a single male, I'm a parent, and I believe that can be talked about. They should be talked about. This fine, you know, a book that says it plain English and does not go into a lot of details. We don't, our kids don't need that. If you got cable, you can get it on HBO or Cinemax. But sidebar, you know, side joke. I'm sorry, it was also in poor taste. Let's get back to this. Science textbooks that encourage students to think, ask, and predict have increased lab time and that present evolution as a theory, not as a fact. Again, where is the political label? That's the idea. Where is the political label? And as far as testing, how many of us have not seen in reports from the Houston Chronicle that talk about how easy the standardized tests are every year? About the news reports that talk about the students are being tested or being taught the test each year. How many news reports have been recorded in or printed in the Houston Chronicle, reported on the news? How many? So why don't we come up with this idea? Stagger the test. Well, first off, why don't we teach the kids how to take tests in the early years, first or kindergarten through fourth grade? Introduce the idea of test matching, true and false. And then by the time they get to junior high, fill in the blank. And by the time we get into high school, essay exams. I'll be honest with you. I will say it. I'll tell my high school teachers to their face. I'd like to see their example of an essay exam, because I never knew what to do until I got into college as far as an essay exam. It's that little blue book. And use that. Well, that's not right. So teach them how to take tests. Then when it comes to those achievement tests or standardization tests, why don't we think about this one? Teach it at the fourth grade level, just as they're about to soon enter junior high. Teach them when they get into eighth, by the time they get to eighth grade, when they're about to take that next step toward high school. And in their senior year of high school, when they're about to go to college. It's every 4 years. And combine those two, you're going to get, should get a better production out of the kids. But again, I've got to say this. Where is the political label? And actually, do the third thing. Let our teachers teach. Because I remember a time when a teacher was held with high respect. And I know Lyndon Johnson was of the opinion that an education for every child in this country means a lot. Well, as a person who wants to think, wants to believe that Mr. Johnson had great intentions, he didn't see this. He didn't have the foresight to see this. But the Department of Education is a part of the red tape of Washington. And I bet that if he's looking down where he is, he's probably angry. He's probably angry. And I wouldn't blame him one damn bit. But again, to the idea in education, where's the political label? What do you think, Pete? Where do you stand, Pete? And that has been a commentary of Rob Rourke. Let's a little side humor. Rob Rourke of Texas. And I'll try to do a couple of editorials like that and be more objective. But hey, we're here to just talk. Like I said, like I keep saying, we like to talk a little politics. But we also like to hear what you have to say. Simply put it, because that's what matters. And again, that number in the next 7+ minutes, that number, if you got a phone call, is 718-664-9825. Well, I can't say enough about this place where I'm living in Clear Lake. I spent some time over in Friendswood, and actually kind of like, and I went to school here over at UH Clear Lake, and I enjoy it. It's a beautiful place. Not that Deer Park and Pasadena are not attractive. They do not have they have their qualities. And I do miss some of the people. I spent 3 years there, and I miss them. And to be honest with you, this first month, I moved in here in January, and it's already the first part of March. It seemed like it was yesterday when I was waking up to, get everything organized so I could move the heck out of my apartment. You know, Deer Park Gardens is not a bad place, not a great place either, and I'm not trying to give them a ringing endorsement, but they were good to me. Timing had a lot to be desired. Getting somebody to help or repair something had a lot to be desired. I think they're still waiting on supplies and reinforcements of the Alamo. But the point is, what they had, they did okay. It was an okay place. Our neighbors, we knew each other, and we acted like we, kind of like, I don't want to say family, maybe a distant family, but my cousins. But we were all good to each other. We watched and saw if anything was going on. Matter of fact, I accidentally left my door unlocked, went to work, come home, and everything was, the door was open, and nothing was touched, which I was a little bit surprised at, and frankly, shocked. But I was so stupid, too, so negligent, and yes, stupid. And I regret that, but I think somebody was watching, and they would have noticed somebody going into the apartment. But there were their faults. And I'm not talking just my little section, but the whole complex had its quirks. But they were nice people. If I needed I still drive the Bat Cycle. And if I needed to get to a rental car, it would give me a ride over to the airport, which was the nearest car dealer's or rental place. Or if I'm lucky and was able to get something from Enterprise, I just had them pick me up. But the point is, they were there when I needed help. And I got some new people, and I'm getting to know them, and frankly, I feel welcome, and I'm glad of it. And to my new store, the new Kroger's, the new Big K, people I work with, oh, I've learned a lot, and I'm going to keep learning. And I can keep working and doing the best I can. To my old store. To my friends. I'll be back and forth. Don't worry about it. I miss y'all, yes. Some of y'all, yes. But the thing is, we're like family. We had a good time together. And I also want to add this. Well, we're going into the final 2 minutes, actually 2 minutes, 55 seconds. Came across an old friend, and we've been having an occasional meal together. We say date. I'd like to. And this one's saying, Alicia, yeah, I'm finally getting to know you. And to Alicia, I want to say this. His birthday was yesterday. While I sent a couple of birthday wishes your way yesterday, or before yesterday, I'd like to say to everyone out there, Alicia, I just want to wish you a happy, hope your birthday was a beautiful day yesterday. And I hope you had a good time and enjoyed every minute of it. And as we entered the final minute, well, I have to see what my schedule is for next week. I will be back. We'll talk a little more. We'll talk a little more politics, be a little more specific on that 30 minutes. But I'd like to send out this shout-out to my favorite shortcake. Hey, kiddo, I just want you to know you're probably in a better place. I love that voice. And I'm grateful to those who have taken you in. And I miss you very much. And I love you very much. And just remember that. And if you ever need me, or seek permission first, but give me a call. I would love to talk to you. I'd love to say, hey, kiddo. And yo-ho, shortcake. Most of all, I'd love to tell you, I want to tell you, I love you and miss you very much. And on that note, folks, this is Bob Roker, Texas. I'm signing off. Well, we're not quite at the end of the 30-second mark. We're not even there. 4, 3, 2, 1. 30 seconds to go. This has been Rob Roark of Texas. I just want to say I will check you all later. Have a good evening. Enjoy the weekend. Don't bundle up too much. I hear there's supposed to be some rain, but we're supposed to be getting a warmer end of next week. So have a good evening. I will check you all later. Thank you. I'll check you all later. Have a good night. God bless.